Thank you, Father. So we're back to this series, Receiving the Land. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we say land, we see people. We say land, we see people. Why? Because land was created for people. God created the world, created everything that man would ever need in an abundance. And then he created man and placed him in the center of it. And basically said, enjoy.
Yeah, right.
Enjoy. And John 10:10, when Jesus is basically giving the purpose of his coming, which is to restore people back, because man blew it, man lost a lot of what God had provided for him, and that which he should just be able to go and pick and steward, really, he had to start working a bit harder for it. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have, who are they? They're the ones that lost it, that they might have it restored to them, that they might have life. And the Amplified, it says that they might have and enjoy life. Amen. So many times that the religion and tradition have turned it into enduring life. You know, if you could just endure a little while, then maybe at the end of it, hopefully someday, you'll get to enjoy something else for eternity. But you know, Jesus said, I have come that they might have and enjoy life in all of its fullness. It doesn't begin when you die and go to heaven. It begins the moment you're born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Or at least it's supposed to. And when you go in there and you look at that Greek word that Jesus said in regard to abundance and abundant life, it just goes on giving. It's a word that just never stops giving. And it doesn't stop. It gives excessively. Hallelujah. Who knows? God's not Scottish. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. Oh, no, you nationalists bit your tongue, didn't you? Hallelujah. He ain't from Aberdeen or something, you know what I'm saying? All that's nonsense. We know that anyway, but that's why we can say it and laugh about it. Amen. But God is generous than the most generous Scotsman. More generous, hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why we want our land restored. We want our land restored. We want this land restored. We want our land of Scotland restored to a place where people experience the superabundant blessings of God. Hallelujah. Where they can enjoy a life of carefree superabundance. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're expecting.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love Scotland. Right? I mean, that bagpipe star, oh man, I'm just like, something does something. We're talking about our nephew Callum was over from Elgin visiting this past week, and he plays the pipes, and he did a couple of down there, he's up at Granny's house, and as soon as you hear that, you're like, just something kicks in, you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And all the blessed folks from England here this morning struggled a little bit with that, maybe, but maybe not. Hallelujah. But that's something, doesn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's like Gaelic Samsung, and that's something. For me, it's just like, it's just in there. It's in your DNA, you know what I'm saying? Other people go, what kind of square hell is that, you know? And it just takes you back, you know, to a wooden pew, you know, and silence. You know, you didn't even dare move because you... I mean, I try to tell my kids that over the years, you know how blessed you are. You know, well, they did have a time when Katrina gave them the nip or whatever it was. Hallelujah. But you know, but thank God for deliverance from wooden pews, amen. Hallelujah. Well, although we were the minister's family, so we always got a cushion in our pew, but there you go. And we moved it to the back seat, so we had a little bit more freedom. Anyway, Joshua 18, verse 3. How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is hoping to give to you one day? No, the Lord, which the Lord God of your fathers has given you. Hallelujah. It's come down to you. It's your inheritance. How long will you neglect to go and possess it? How long will you neglect to receive everything that he has provided? I don't know, but I struggle sometimes when I talk to brothers and sisters in the Lord who I know love God passionately, who still struggle to accept that God wants them to have good stuff. That he really does want to heal everybody who's sick. Mm-hmm. He really does want to bless everybody who's lacking in whatever area they are lacking. Mm-hmm. Because somehow or other they got stuck in the endure group instead of moving into the enjoy.
Yeah.
We've already been given the land. All that remains for us to do is simply to receive it. To receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're moving on to Joshua 3, chapter 3 this morning. You'll be glad to know. In verse 1 it says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over." Joshua rose early in the morning. Anybody struggle with the Battle of the Blankets?
Yep.
Well, you know, I don't understand, brother. I'm just a night person, you know. Well, Jesus covered that too. You know, in Mark chapter 1, I think it's in verse 35, it says, Jesus rose very early in the morning while it was before daylight, while it was still dark, and he went out to a solitary place to pray. There's also other times when he, because if you're a night person, he's got you covered, because there's other times when he stayed up all night.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God, maybe you are a night person, maybe you're not a morning person. Well, maybe stay up all night on occasion and just... Because there's just something about, I don't know, there's just an extra dimension of preparedness that we can have if we just take hold of how Jesus did it.
Yeah.
I think it was John Wesley that said, God does nothing in the earth except someone prays first. I believe that. That's why Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're giving you your place. We understand that you are our God. We understand that our life can't function properly without that relationship with you. Now, please, let your kingdom come. We're inviting your kingdom to come. We're inviting your will to be done. I believe it's a prayer of invitation. We're ready to receive. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. God can't resist a prayer like that. God does nothing in the earth except someone prays for it. It's important that we recognize that if nobody's praying, that's why nothing's happening. And we've got to pray right. Because you can pray wrong. Like people will say, well, if it be your will, you need to get some things settled. I love it when it says in Luke chapter 4, when it says that Jesus, after he had read from the scroll of Isaiah, it says he closed the book. There's some issues you need to close the book on. Jesus closed the book on the fact that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit and he had come to bring, to heal broken hearts. He had come to preach deliverance to captives. He had come to open the eyes of the blind. He'd come to restore vision to people who could not see or understand why they were here and what it was all about. He came to bring liberty to the oppressed. He came to announce the year and of God's favour, the time when the free favours of God profusely abound. Hallelujah, it says in the Amplified. Mine says it in mine anyway. To the point, and I think I added this bit myself, but this is the Donnie Stewart paraphrase, to the point of extravagant excess. Hallelujah. Because that's allowed. Amen. Glory to God. And it happens. We can expect that as a response to our prayers. Not when we say, if it be your will. You need to get it settled. There's certain things that God's already revealed as his will. Amen. And we don't have to fuss about whether it's his will anymore. It's in his word as a promise, it's his will. Mm. Not just for one time, but for all time.
Right.
So Joshua rose early in the morning. I mean, even think about it. How many times have you heard people say it, or maybe you said it yourself, and you've probably experienced it, that you go to pray and then you remember instantly something else that needs to be done. Or the phone will ring. Now if you're up before everybody else is up, the chances of the phone ringing are slimmer. They're not necessarily cancel out altogether, but the chances are slimmer that the phone's going to ring. So there's just common sense about praying all night or getting up early in the morning, because before everybody else is up, before the world started its business, you're not going to get sucked into it, you're not going to get distracted if you just get up that little bit earlier, or even sometimes just stay up all night when everybody else is sleeping. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, I can tell that's really popular. We'll move on. Verse 2. But it is a principle. Amen. Jesus said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Well, here's a key. Amen. Prayer's the foundation for everything. It shocks me that how few people think it's important to show up on a Wednesday night to pray. Well, I wasn't going to get in, but here we go, we've got a platform. It shocks me because it's the foundation for everything.
Yeah.
You know, if some folks hadn't showed up, if a handful of folks hadn't showed up on Wednesday night, we might not be here today. There was one Wednesday night we showed up when that was the reality, because there was a good chance we were going to be out of here by the Sunday, but we showed up on Wednesday and prayed and that situation was resolved. Somebody said, Hallelujah! Not so long ago. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. I know, and it's not just, it's in every church. And I mean, I tell you, on this island, at one time, if you didn't show up at the prayer meeting, if you were a member of the church, you didn't show up 2 weeks running, there was a knock at the door. They wanted to know if you died and they hadn't heard about it. Or what was going on, because you were either backslidden, or something, there was a problem of some sort going on, or paralyzed. In fact, this is what Duncan Campbell said. Because everybody wants to see what Duncan Campbell said. Well, they want to say some of the things Duncan Campbell said. He said, the people of Lewis would much rather believe that the devil was a Christian than those who don't show up for the midweek prayer meeting. He said, the people of Lewis would rather believe the devil himself was a Christian than people who don't show up for the midweek prayer meeting. Very well, very well. Verse 2. So it was. After 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Remember when Jesus first showed up after his baptism in the Jordan, and he was beginning to call disciples. What was it he said to them? Come, follow me. Come, follow me. It's incredible. You see people leaving things behind and just going off after him and following him. I would say sometimes people get obsessed with the go. But before God ever said go to anybody, he said come first. I see people chomping at the bit to go, and I know they're not comers. They just want to be goers. I want to tell you, you ain't got nothing to go with unless you're a comer first. Unless you're someone that counts the presence of God the most precious thing in your life, then you're not even close to being ready to go.
Right.
Because it's the presence of God in your life that makes a difference to everything. Joshua says, go, he's basically saying, go after the presence of the Lord. See, Jesus was the walking, talking Ark of the Covenant. He was the presence of God in flesh. He was the manifestation of God in the flesh. He was what the Ark of the Covenant had symbolized. People still running around looking for a wooden box. Jesus said, here, I am. I'm the Ark of the Covenant now. Hallelujah. He says, follow me. Follow me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. He says, come to me. I need to teach you some things first. Before Jesus did anything, he was a teacher and a preacher. Some people within the church have just said, we don't want any more teaching and preaching. Well, you don't know Jesus then. You don't know Jesus. We just want this, or we just want that, or we need to get out there and do stuff. Well, you ain't equipped to go anywhere until you've come to him. And you've listened to him, and you've sat his feet, and you've heard from him. Mm-hmm. Well, we heard it all before. No, you didn't hear what he's going to say today. Well, he said the same thing yesterday. No, but it's not yesterday anymore, it's today. Yeah. Today. Today, if you hear his voice. Even if it is the same thing he said yesterday. Good chance he's saying it again today, because you didn't hear him yesterday. You weren't listening, and he knows you didn't get it. Or he knows it needs to be reinforced. See, in Romans 10 it says, faith comes by hearing, and the Greek in there, really, it's basically saying faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and going on hearing what God says. You need a refresher. Amen. We were sitting over Katrina's mother's oil ran out the other day, and every time the oil runs out, and then there's an airlock, and there's a friend of hers in Carlow who comes down, and he lights something down and sorts it. And apparently, the last time he showed me how to do it, I have no recollection whatsoever. I put it on my phone or something. That wouldn't have been much good to me today with a dead phone, but I wrote it down. In fact, it was Edwin Louis Cole who set up, who was a real man of God, who set up he had a real heart for men, for ministering to men, and set up, it's still a worldwide ministry to men, although he's gone, his son's taken over. But he said this, he said, unless it's written down, it doesn't exist. He said, unless it's written down, it doesn't exist. That's why God had men write things down. That's why the word, that's why Jesus, Jesus didn't say it has been spoken when the devil came against him. He said, it is written. And if you don't believe me, just go and read it. Amen. That's why it's awesome that when people say, oh, I don't know about it. I remember at one time I was out delivering a milk years ago, I came to this old lady's house, and she was an awesome lady, old woman of God. You know, I just knew she was just, she had, you know, Jesus coming out of every pore, you know what I'm saying? But she'd been robbed of, in her life, of certain truths, certain understanding of certain things that had been promised to her. And so she came out this day, and I says, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm not doing good at all. I says, how are you from? She says, oh, my eyes are nearly gone. And there's a few other things. I says, well, do you not know that? That Jesus can heal that. She says, oh, I don't know who that is. She says, come in. So I went in, and I always carried my wee dagger, my wee New Testament and Psalms. And I used to carry it in King James Version, because I knew that out there in the sticks, that is the Word of God, you know. And so I went, and I know that all these people, they knew the Psalms off by heart. So I knew that they had a real great appreciation for the Psalms. Maybe other scriptures they weren't so familiar with, but the Psalms, because they sung them, and they read them, and they did them not just on Sundays or twice and on midweek, but they did them morning and evening every day, 7 days a week. And so I turned to Psalm 103, and I started to read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. She said, look at that. I said, there it is, in black and white. I said, I says, can I pray for you now? She says, what Bible is that? it's the King James. She says, oh, what's wrong with you Pentecostals then? I says, absolutely nothing. Can I pray for you now? She said, oh yes, you're right. Oh yes, you're right. So I prayed with her. Next morning, delivering the milk, she comes out. She says, oh, I said, what's wrong? She says, oh, I'm praising you. I said, no, don't praise me. Praise the Lord. Oh, no, but I'm praising you too. Because the Lord had touched her.
Yeah.
On the basis of what was written.
Yeah.
She'd had that access to that. She'd read it. She'd heard it. But still, somehow or other, she'd been robbed of it. And that's why they need to be able to say it is written, and then go and show them where it is. That's why you need to know where it is. That's why it's important you know where it is, so you can take people there and say, look, there it is. I said, God's not 50 shades of grey, he's black and white.
Yeah.
You know, the women who wrote that book made 71 million off it. How obscene is that? Well, look, this is still the bestseller. I don't mean, probably there's not many people read it. It's the bestseller that the fewest people probably actually read. That's something wrong there. I don't know. But it's not just about reading. Faith comes by hearing. That's why some people read out loud. Even when they're reading it personally, they'll read it out loud. So it doesn't just go in their eyes, it goes in their ears. Because faith comes by hearing. But there's something about Jesus did this. People say, I'm not really like that in the church, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And they start slagging off the church. And I don't know about you, but I've got it down here on the base level. Jesus set this business up.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus said that, did this. And they ain't always perfect, and sometimes it's far from perfect, but it's still what he said he was building. Hallelujah. He said you need to come together. Well, they need to come together regularly, and you need to have a certain order within that. Otherwise, there's chaos. Because as soon as God showed up and they looked at the heavens and the earth and there was chaos, he spoke into that. What did he speak? He spoke his word, and what did he bring out of chaos? Order. And that's why there's 7 days in the week. Come on, somebody. Are you not glad there's 7 days in the week? Some of you look forward to some days more than others. Isn't that good to be able to do that? Me, I look forward to Sunday more than any other day. Some folks are, oh, you know, thank the Lord it's Friday. Well, I'm saying, thank the Lord it's Sunday again. Because we're starting a new week. I know where to start. I want to start it right here, in church. Hallelujah. With the people of God. I want to hear what God is saying. I want to hear a word that sets me up for the week. Hallelujah. That sets my course. Something I can take away and chew on. Sometimes I'll go home and Monday morning I'll listen to this message again. Why? Because I was speaking it, so maybe I wasn't hearing it as good as everybody else. So I want to hear it again. You've got to break through that, because I don't want to listen to myself, but you've got to break through that because I'm not listening to myself. I'm listening to what I believe God has given me through you, but I need to hear it too, so I'll go back and listen to it again to make sure I didn't miss it. When I'm not here and other people are speaking from up here, I make sure I listen to every single message that's preached here, not so that I can check up on what they're saying, but so I can hear what God is saying, speaking into this church. Every time I'm not here, I listen. I'll do that wherever I am. If I don't get it straight away, I'll catch up with it after I get back. Hallelujah. So I know that I'm not missing something that God spoke. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it works. It does something in your life. It prepares you, equips you, because that's what it's designed to do. Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to the church to equip them and prepare them for the work of the ministry so they're ready and strong and ready to get out and do the stuff. Because they've been comers, they're equipped to be goers. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Dear Lord, please remind these people you're allowed to say amen in this church. Right hand over the west side, this lady said, praise the Lord! And the fellow says, excuse me, madam, we don't praise the Lord in here. Hallelujah. The Lord was telling people, go after the presence of the Lord. When the presence of the Lord moves, you follow the presence of the Lord. Jesus said, follow me. Verse 4 of Joshua chapter 3, it says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Don't get lost. And I know some people don't like this phrase, but I think I invented it. Don't get lost in the charismatic mess. You know what I'm saying? Man, I love that place. Man, don't get me wrong, man. I'm not against charismatic mess, but don't get lost there. Make sure you got your compass. I love the presence of God. I'm not the manifest presence, but I love it when God shows up and does something that's just different. Or I don't know. But who knows, the Lord wants us to keep moving. He called us to be a people on the move. So we should never allow familiarity with the things of God leave us in a place where we think that we know everything about Him. Maybe that, what's the point of going to church this morning? It'll just be the same anyway. I never think two times in church are the same. Even if we have a similar order or of service or whatever, I don't believe it's ever the same. Come expecting to receive something. Come expecting to hear something that I haven't heard before. To experience something I've never experienced before. Or to have what I've heard before or what I've experienced before reinforced in my life. Hallelujah. Don't ever think that you know everything about Him. That's what happened in Jesus' hometown, wasn't it? I didn't know him. That's Jesus. I went to school with him. And I used to sit beside him and play. My sister was his sister and his brother. That's what's really part of what you're up against in this island culture, because people are so familiar with Jesus, the Jesus they know. But he's not the supernatural Jesus very often. He's the Sunday school Jesus. He's the catechism Jesus. And then you get beyond that. Then you get beyond that. He's the Jesus who saved their mother or father or granny or grandfather or whatever. Then you get beyond that to that place of knowing that we need to know him personally.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we get to know him personally, we begin to understand there's so much of him to know that you never get to the end of it. I've been married to Katrina now for coming on 31 years. And that's nothing like anything. Didn't know that about you. Still surprise me sometimes. Usually good. Hallelujah. He said, don't get lost and don't overtake. Don't get be. And when he said, don't come too near, then it's almost like he said, don't go beyond. Don't get out there beyond the ark. Don't try and overtake. Don't think, oh, well, it looks like he's pointing in that direction, so we'll just take off and get down there.
Yeah.
Don't think that you've already seen everything. Don't think that that you know exactly how he's going to do it in every situation and circumstance. In verse 5, it says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He's saying, set yourselves apart. You know how you do that? Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Go to God's word first. Pull on him first. I tell you, that will set you apart from the majority of the rest of the people. Well, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to wait and see what God tells me to do, but then I'm going to do it. I'm just going to wait to pray about that. I'm going to wait to seek the Lord about this. I'm going to wait until I get clearer direction on this. Now, there's some things that are pretty much set in stone, and there's other things that you need to hear. What he's saying, you need his direction. And even there's some things that you don't want to go too close to them because you're not sure about it. The Lord doesn't hold that against you. Amen. I know people have turned this and twisted it, but I like the what were them characters called? The Bereans. You know, the people have set themselves up now as the Bereans, you know. And really what they've done is set themselves up as judges on everything that's happening. Usually they're what God's doing. But I remember going back and reading that again, what happened there in the book of Acts, and I thought, hang on a minute. What these guys were actually, I believe these guys were actually saying was, wow, this is incredible. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to go back to the Word, because I want to really see that this is it the way it is, because we really want this.
Yeah.
Not that we're trying to put down it or shut it down or come against it, but no, man, these things just sound so incredible, but we're just going to go and check the Word and make sure that it's there. Hallelujah. Because they wanted the more, they wanted the extraordinary, they wanted the extra, they wanted everything that God had. Hallelujah. But God doesn't hold it against you for saying, well, I'm going to take some time to check this. And then you go into the Word, and then you don't just go into you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in the Word. And you allow the Holy Spirit to bring things out of the Word that you haven't seen before, even though you've read them before. And my old lady over on the west side with a Psalm 103. It became a now word for her that day. Because it became a now word for her, she was able to receive exactly what it promised. Hallelujah. Joshua said to the people, set yourselves apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Oh, I tell you, when you choose to set yourself apart from the cares of this life, and when you just decide that you're going to not going to fall down under the things that everybody else has fallen down under, but you recognize you've been set over these things, and you're going to follow the presence of the Lord, and you will be where the signs and wonders are taking place. In fact, you will be the signs and wonders. Amen. We got to pray for a lady the other night, and it was awesome because it was remarkable. It was a God, it had to be a God thing because of how it all came together. And in one way, it was quite spontaneous. And then the fact that Mary was there, because Mary was able to bring a testimony that matched exactly what this lady's condition was, and it was just, and Mary's only there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And so it was like, whoa. You will be the sign of the wonder. You just say, well, here's Mary. You know, she couldn't lift her arm. And then instantaneously she was healed. And even her atheist boss said, when Mary was retiring and they were having a do, he said, well, you know, I'm an atheist and everybody knows that. I don't believe in God. But he said, I have heard over the years that there's a 5%. And even in every atheist, there's a 5% kind of maybe openness to a maybe somewhere. He says, well, I want you to know, when I saw what God did for Mary, my 5% has grown. It's increased. He didn't say what God said. I said, what happened to Mary? I would be, woo! He did. Hallelujah. When you choose to set yourself, I'll tell you what will set yourself apart. Faith sets you apart. Because faith doesn't just believe something in the heart. Faith speaks something out of the mouth. With the heart, man believes on the righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. When you begin to speak these words, it sets you apart. Now, some people are going to go, but it takes you to a place where you're moving into that place where it's beginning to align you with the throne of heaven, where that which you are speaking is aligning with what God has spoken, and has to happen. And I've said over and over again over the last 20 odd years that the most powerful thing you have in your hand is your personal testimony of what God has done. Of when you can say, I believed God in this situation. I took His word and I believed His word. I took His word literally in my life and I said, I'm going to believe for that, and I want to tell you God came through on that promise and I'm here to testify. And to tell you what He did for me, He'll do exactly the same for you if you'll do what I did and just take His word seriously and believe it and not be moved away from it. Let nothing move you from it. I remember when I started coming into the whole healing stuff, man, God just began to speak these things to me and He just cemented that stuff down there on the inside. And after a period, I began to experience that, the truth of it, the reality of it. Hallelujah. It wasn't even popular in church. Sometimes. Hallelujah. But you don't leave church because it's not because. Somebody says to me, oh, I was hurt in church. I say, well, I'd be surprised if you weren't. If you told me you hadn't been hurt in church, I would say you never been in church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's when you need to give thanks. Our God is a healer. Hallelujah. Amen. If every child, come on up. Verse 6. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. That's why it's important to have leaders. And that's why it's important that the leaders, and I think it's in 1 John in chapter 2, and it kind of gives three levels of maturity in the lives of believers, and it talks about children, young men, and fathers, and when it speaks about fathers, it says the same thing about fathers. It speaks to fathers twice, and it says the same thing. And we need to understand that fathers are established in the truth of what. And let me read. Hallelujah. He says, I have written to you, fathers. Hang on. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven before his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. He says the same thing to fathers, wives. You have known him. You've come into a place of knowing him who is. In Hebrews chapter 11, I think it's in verse 6, it says that those who come to God, those who come to the Father, must believe that he is. What do they mean? What does that mean? They must believe that he is. They must believe that he is who he says he is. He must believe in I am. Because when I say he is, I'm acknowledging what he has said when he said I am. My testimony to you, my acknowledgement before him is, I believe you are my healer. My testimony to you is, I believe he is my healer. Hallelujah. I've acknowledged what he has said when he says, I am. We need to get a hold of some of these I ams. I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord, your righteousness. I am the Lord, your provider. I am the Lord. We were saying this morning, your banner. He says, I am the Lord, Jehovah Nissi, I believe this. I am the Lord, your banner. Hallelujah. I'm all of these things. The Lord who come to God must believe that he is. Fathers in the church, believe that. That's why I said, if any among you be sick, it doesn't mean you have to be sick, but it means if you're struggling against sickness and you're not being able to resist that sickness on your own, call who? The newbies? No, call the elders.
Yeah.
And that qualification of elders should only apply to people who are fathers, who have come to that place of knowing that they know that they know that they know that it's God's heart to heal everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Those who know him who is. From the beginning. He is the rewarder, Hebrews 11, of those who diligently seek him, who go after him first, who don't run here or there or everywhere else. But the other fellow said, you know, oh man, we've been at this for a few weeks now, I think we need to pray. And the other guy goes, man, is it that bad? Things got that bad and we need to pray. No, we need to pray first. We need to seek first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. There's 100,000 voices out there trying to pull you this way and that way, and sometimes they're even in the church trying to divert you away from your source, your life source, the source of your abundant life, the source of the life that you can have and enjoy in all of its fullness. The source that comes not from I was or I will be, but from I am. Hallelujah. He ain't a historical Jesus. He's not a Jesus that we're just sitting back, twiddling our thumbs, hoping one day he's going to return kind of Jesus. He's an I am Jesus. Hallelujah. When he showed up at the grave of Lazarus, he said, this boy's coming out of that grave. Lazarus' sister said, well, yes, we know that he will rise again at the resurrection. Well, full marks, Martha, but I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Well, Mars on the will be, but I am. Glory to God. Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, I'm an elder. And I want to speak to you other elders. Your position is not some hierarchical opportunity to lord it over people. You're not here to lord it over the brethren. You'll be an example to them. You're there to cross over before them and say, this is the way. Hallelujah. You're there to testify to them. I know this is real because I've experienced it. Hallelujah. I know he is. I am. Because one day I said, you are. And I discovered that he is. Hallelujah. Amen. Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. So important that we don't ever try to cross over. We don't ever try to overcome any situation or obstacle in our lives without the Lord's presence going before us. Hallelujah. See, we need to understand, wherever he tells you to go is somewhere he's already gone. It's somewhere he's already prepared the way. He went to the cross to prepare the way for us. Every negative thing that happened to Jesus on the cross was so that we could experience the positive, the reverse of that. Everything. He became poor with our poverty so that we could become rich with his riches. How much of that has been stripped away from the experience of your average believer? Well, we don't want any of that prosperity stuff. Well, I'm sorry, my friend, but prosperity is a Bible word. It says God takes delight in the poverty of his people. Oh, excuse me, sorry, no, I misread that. God takes delight in the prosperity of his people. But maybe that's not what it means. But if that was the only scripture. But it says Jesus went on the cross and he became poor with our poverty so that we could become rich with his riches. Prosperity is God's heart. It's God's will. It's no, it should never be treated as a swear word in a church.
That's
right. You know most people that reject prosperity? They're the ones who really got a few bucks. That's why Jesus said, I've come with good news for the poor. Somebody, I've never met any poor person that said, I don't want to hear about that prosperity stuff. Never. I remember being in a prayer meeting one time down in, I know I said this word, down in Bendegula, one of them conventions down in Bendegula. And Don McCann said, oh, we're going to have a prayer time now, we just break up into groups and I don't know, but anyway. So I end up in a group with these three or four young guys and at least one of them's not saved. And so, you know, I'm not really sure. So I said to the unsaved guy, I says, what do you need? Money. I says, well, we're going to pray for money for you. That's what we're going to pray for, because that's what you need. Hallelujah. Because it's good news for the poor. So he prayed for money. I asked him a few weeks later, how's it going? Money's coming. Money cometh. Somebody. Hallelujah. We could have just prayed round and round in circles. We could have made religious noises. And that guy would never have experienced that God wants to prosper him. Hallelujah. We had an old blind lady used to come to our house at the communions where we lived over in Berna. And I was that. My friend used to call it, in the gathering, it's the ordeal. He used to call them the ordeals because you had to behave yourself at the communions when visitors came to stay in your house. And of course, I'm a son of the man's kind of job. And so that when people come to stay and you're supposed to be on your best behaviour and no carry outs or nothing, you know. I remember meeting her because the stairs went like that and there was a wee landing and then they went round and up. And she meets me in the land. She's blind. This old lady's blind. She's in her, well up in her 80s. And she meets me on the stairs. She said, is that you, Donald? That was my official name. Is that you, Donald? I said, yes. God told me to give you something. She handed me a £20 note. Now that, you need to understand, that totally destroyed every concept I ever had of God. God was trying to teach me something. It didn't quite break through at the time. I just thought, oh, she's lost it. I'm thinking, does God not know what I'm going to do with this 20? Well, comedians are not. You know what I mean? I'm going to buy the biggest bottle I can find and spend the rest in cigarettes. But that's not, I didn't understand. You see, just because I was going to blow it doesn't mean God don't want to bless me with it.
That's right.
So you need to get rid of all that religious nonsense. Back then, God's trying to reach me. How does he try and reach you? Through blessing. It's the goodness of God that turns you in repentance back to your heavenly Father. That's what it says in Romans. The goodness of God. That was an expression of God's goodness. She said, God told me to give you this. I'm going, now if I'd gone back to the book. But that went through my religious filters. And I couldn't receive it as from God. Even though she told me, God told her to give me. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? That's why I always say, I never pass a beggar on the street deliberately, and maybe in Edinburgh or Glasgow, when you go to the city, man, they're just everywhere, on every corner. Sometimes you need to fill your pockets full of change just to get through the street. I try hard not to pass by one beggar without, I don't know where we go on this morning, we're going to finish in a minute. I don't want to get I try not to pass one without putting something in their pocket. I don't give them with a tract, and I don't stop and preach at them. I just say, God bless you. And I believe there's something in that. And I put it in that pocket, that even if they try and spend on something else, maybe it'll be, I don't know. I just believe, I just put it in there by faith. I remember we were away with it, with a youth at Frenzy one time, and so I'm doing what Joshua said here. I'm in front. We're walking from the youth hostel up to go get something to eat at Jimmy Chung's, and go out to God. Every time we pass a beggar, I'm putting something for, I look behind and I'm putting something. The guy's like, whoa! Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you, you can't put that money in these guys' pockets, they're just going to go and spend that on drugs. That's not my business. I remember somebody coming in the street out there saying, can you give me a fiver? Now, if I come backtrack a few years, I'd probably say, well, because I'd heard this, it sounded like a good idea. Who knows about good ideas? Lorraine said that there last Sunday night. What a message. She says, well, she has a lot of good ideas, but just not always good ideas. I want to tell you, man, I'd have said what I'd heard someone else say, which sounded like a really good idea. Well, I'll take you for something to eat. Do you know how offensive that is? I'm not going to give you this because I know what you're going to do with it. How do I know what he's going to do with it? I don't know what he's going to do with it. He just asked me for it. I'm supposed to release it to him without any questions.
That's right.
And when I say, well, I'm going to take you for, I'll take you for something to eat, I've just offended him. Or her. We need to release things by faith. We need to release something. We're here to bless. And I want to tell you, when we release something by faith with the blessing of God on it, that might be the fiber that they take to buy something to eat. When they sit down and we also get food on them, they begin to think, maybe I need to get out of that lifestyle. Maybe it's time that I turn things around. And that fellow that gave me, I think he's a Christian. He's the first Christian that ever gave me anything and didn't put a clause attached, or didn't cross the road when they saw me coming. Maybe there's something in this app. Who knows? I don't know, but you just got to release it. It's a seed. It's a seed. Who knows that God's no man's debtor? I want to tell you, from the moment I started putting coins into beggars' pots, money cometh. Because the Bible says, like in the book, you know, black and white, but he who gives to the poor, lends to the Lord. And I want to tell you, I am the one who repays all my debts with massive interest. Hallelujah. Every time you put something in the hands of the poor, you just made an investment. Hallelujah. That's guaranteed a return. And I want to tell you, the kingdom of heaven returns are way beyond any bank or building society or stocks and shares or anything else. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I think we better not get very far, but anyway, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said to Joshua, I will just back up that wee bit. Just read that verse 6 again. Joshua spoke to the priest. Do you know that we are a priesthood? Every one of us is a priest.
Yeah.
Over the last 30 years, there was a lot of teaching on the priesthood of all believers, you know. And it's true, you know, we're all anointed. And under the old covenant, there was only three categories of people that were anointed: the king, the priest, and the prophet. But now we are kings and priests, and we have the ability, the Holy Spirit given ability to prophesy, to proclaim. We're all of these categories now. Hallelujah! Kings and priests and prophets. Hallelujah. Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. When you go into work tomorrow, wherever you go tomorrow, I want you to know that you're there as a leader of people. Not to lord it over them. Not to come across as some big-headed, big-mouthed, arrogant, puffed-up Christian. Because I've had plenty of them over the years. Not some religious bigot, but someone who's there to lead them through the stuff that they don't know they can get beyond. Hallelujah, because you've been there and you know, glory to God, and you're there to carry the presence of God into that place and say, follow me, follow me. You're there to lay hands on these people. You're there to encourage them. You're there to bring them the scripture. You're there to bring them the heart of God. I'm not talking about King James in them unless you have by the Holy Spirit as I did it. That was the right way to bring it. Most folks now couldn't make it's gobbledygook for them. Sometimes the Lord will say, give them King James. Even and it'll be the most unusual people they'll say that about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because it's a seed that's been in there for years, and you like Paul said, son, just you're there. You're not there as a sower. You're there as a waterer. Hallelujah. We know this. We are surrounded by people in this island. We have a lot of seed, and very often our function is as waterers. Hallelujah. And it's always, and I want you to hear this. If you don't hear anything else, it's always God who gives the increase. You're not there to yank. Yeah, the increase. You're either there to sow, or you're there to water, and you're there to expect God to do what only He can do, which is to give the increase. Hallelujah. What you need is eyes to be able to recognize the increase. Hallelujah. Because sometimes that increase is just beginning to show its tiny little, like Ali was talking about, spring is in the air, the flowers are starting to show up, and there's colour. But you know what? I was over at Calvary's on Friday, and there's lots of daffodils, and then you see there's a couple of pots, but in these pots there were some flowers that were already out there and in full bloom, and then there was these tiny little shoots just beginning to show their little, a tiny bit of green just coming up under, from the black. That's what you need to be able to recognize. You need to be able to recognize that tiny little bit of green that's just coming up. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand up together. I think we've gone far enough. Glory to God. Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the ark of the covenant. You need to understand the presence of God. If you're born again this morning, the presence of God is on the inside of you. You're a carrier of the presence of God. If you're not born again, it's time to get born again. All you have to do is very simply say, I believe that you are my Savior. That you died for me. That you went on the cross. That you took my sin. So that I could receive your righteousness. I've come this morning to receive that which you provided for me with a grateful and a thankful heart, because I've struggled for too long in my own strength. I've run too long and I've become weary. But I thank you that this morning I can receive everything that you have. If you're here this morning, your body is telling you that you're sick. You need to understand there's a voice that's coming from heaven that's not declaring sickness over you, but it's declaring healing over you this morning. That's saying, I am the Lord, your healer. You need to come to Him this morning and say, I believe that you are the Lord, my healer. Run out of here this morning with a testimony. He is exactly who He says He is. He is the Lord, my healer. Hallelujah. Do you need saved? Do you need healed? Maybe you need deliverance this morning. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you're carrying everything on your shoulders. Well, Jesus took something on His shoulders, so that your shoulders could be free from every false yoke and burden. So the anointing could remove every false yoke and burden from you. Oh, hallelujah. So you could be free, because it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And as soon as we're born again, immediately we become a leader. Hallelujah. Immediately we become a leader of others. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wherever we're at, whatever stage of the journey we're at, immediately we become someone who can lead others out of where they are. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the kingdom of heaven. I thank you, Lord, that it's your heart and desire for the kingdom of heaven to manifest in the earth, for us to be aligned with heaven, Lord, so that everything that's in heaven, provided in heaven, can be released into the earth and experienced by the people who occupy this land. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. I pray that anyone here today who's come with a need would leave with that need met, would receive that provision you've already made, and walk out of here, Lord, with a testimony to your goodness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.